it's time for TWiT, This Week in Tech, and an amazing show for you involving Paul, Storm, ONJJ, Dr. Stone, what's his name? ONJJ, Dr. Stone, and Dick DiBartolo, copious amounts of moonshine, and Star Wars spoilers. It's going to be an amazing holiday special. Stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 542, recorded Friday, December 18th, 2015, for air date December 27th, 2015, our holiday special. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/twit. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/twit2. That's lynda.com/twit and the number 2. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at freshbooks.com/twit. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2 and don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter, user ID audible_com. It's time for our famous This Week in Tech holiday special on Boxing Day. Ladies and gentlemen, in alphabetical order, ONJJ Stone, Paul, and Storm, the Gizwiz, and to kick us off, our special musical guest, the Rat Pack.
Ooh, it's cold out there.
We just 2 of 5, but we appreciate being here for your Christmas special.
That's right. It's Christmas.
We got a gift coming in at the end of this song.
All around the world tonight. And this song is no exception. Is it, Dino?
Yeah,
we're going to go Christmas on them. Well,
the one that we love belongs to somebody else.
She sings her songs of love to somebody else.
And even when I've got my arms around her, well, I know her thoughts are strong for somebody else.
Cuckoo-ca-choo, baby. And the Christmas hands she holds belong to somebody else. Well, I guess they're not so cold for somebody else. Well, it's tough to be alone on a shelf. Worse to fall in love by yourself. Because the one that we love belongs to somebody else.
Vadels. At the Christmas time like this, I'm feeling more Hanukkah, kind
of. Someone turn up the band, baby.
The waterworks, turn them on now. Where to go and how did we get to this place, Dean? It wasn't my idea.
I had no idea with you alone.
Are you going to take it? No, this is me, huh? Well, the one we love belongs to somebody else.
Well, my friends, it's a tearful story.
She sings her songs of love to somebody else.
Very sad, but at some more.
So Italian.
I'm trying.
Even when she's got her arms around me. Well, I know her feeling strong for somebody else. Oh, somebody else.
And the one I'll hold belongs to somebody else.
Holding on to somebody else.
Well, I'll bet they're not so cold for somebody else.
To somebody else. Well, it's tough to be alone on a shelf. Worse to fall in love by yourself. because the one we love belongs. You know the one we love keeps singing that song to somebody. Dude, that's right. It's a whole different Christmas. It's a Christmas.
And there's Marilyn
behind us because the band got
happy. Holy day.
And gentlemen, awesome. The Deanaholics, everybody. We're going to see more of them in just a little bit. Welcome. Welcome to our TWiT This Week in Tech holiday show. As always, we like to bring together the tops in entertainment. Paul and Storm are here, but I was informed their contract, their writer, doesn't allow them to perform music. So I hope you don't mind, but we brought in a musical act, Paul. I hope you don't
mind. That's fine. You guys can't meet our rate anyway.
So. I can't afford you. You guys are great. You're coming to town soon, and we'll talk about that. What is that, Tweaker Fest? What is that thing you do?
Sketch Fest. Yeah,
Sketch
Tweaker
Fest. Yeah. And that'll...
Yeah, we're coming to town to score the really, really good drug.
Paul Sabourin. It's great to have
Sabourin.
I don't know who you are.
More,
we booked you, and I got some Jaeger, and we're ready to go. We're ready to roll. We're gonna have a wonderful time. Look at this. New to the group. Storm, are you okay? Are you doing all right in there?
All right.
You have some Jaeger.
The constant companion. It's not Boxing Day without our good friend Jolly Jay, and he's here.
Yeah. Well, you know. Oh, my God. Who was it got this started? Was it you or Paul that was drinking a couple of years ago?
Paul does not drink, so I'm pretty sure
you.
It was
Must
me.
Must have been you?
But yeah.
I honestly don't remember, but I have this bottle, so.
And then it multiplied because Colton pulled one out and Hodgman pulled one out. I thought we'd class the act up with some liquor in a bag. A little Crown Royal.
Whoa.
I see.
That's Canadian. For
I want it to come out.
Also, Odokta is not looking too happy. Odokta is here. Oh, did you see Star Wars? Is that why it's sitting there behind you?
Yep.
I was told we may not mention Star Wars.
I will not spoil anything for anybody because I'm not the type of person, Uncle Leo.
Storm will run out. And also, this is great. Dick D. Bartolo, Mad's Maddest Raider and the Gizwiz is joining us. Dickie D, happy holidays.
Yeah, this is great.
I was
actually just waiting for the radio on Saturday, and the camera was on.
So what the heck?
We'll do it. Yeah.
And I wanted to class the place up with some liquor in a bag.
So I think
I already said that. And then this is the Jaeger. So we'll have the Jaeger in the
bag. Yeah. Now it's Boxing Day.
My mustache is falling off. That's how good that stuff is. Can you want to do a couple more numbers from the Rat Pack, and then we'll get into the years. We don't talk about news on this show. We'll get into some heavy drinking. How about that?
Fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. We got liquor and fake cigarettes. Could it be a merrier Christmas? I think not. Mm-hmm. There we go. As sweet a young child as you'd find. Her parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind. Only 9 years of age was this poor little lamb when Mama and Dad went away. Still, she bravely worked at the one thing she knew to earn her few pennies a day. Woo! She made artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers made out of Annie's despair. With paper and shears and some wire and wax, she made up each tulip and mum. And as the snowflakes drifted into her tenement room, her baby little fingers went numb. All right, now I'm making artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of a fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, artificial flowers made out of Annie's despair. Now listen now, they found little Annie all covered with ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears. And amongst all of those blossoms that she'd fashioned by hand, you know, and watered with all her young tears. Take it up! There has got to be a heaven where Annie can play amidst heavenly gardens and bowers. But instead of a halo, she's gonna wear upon her head, you know, a garland of genuine flowers. Yeah, no more artificial flowers. Artificial flowers. Flowers for ladies of high society to wear. Throw away all of them flowers. You know, those dumb, dumb flowers. Made out of Annie's. Made out of Annie's despair. I'll say it with flowers, everybody. Merry Christmas. That's a Christmas song. That's a Christmas song.
Christmas bouquet, baby. Christmas bouquet. Woo!
Happy day, you.
Christina Hollick, Bob Puddle, and Peter Petty, and Sherilyn Laboissonniere. That's a beautiful name. Am I saying that right, Sherilyn? Laboissonniere.
Laboissonniere, yes.
C'est vraiment le beautiful boissonniere. Oh. What does that mean?
The drunken woodsman.
The drunken woodsman. Completely appropriate. And meanwhile, I think we lost O'Docta. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Marilyn. Oh, my. Mwah. Oh, my.
My I'm loving that your mustache has evolved into an Hercule Poirot.
She curled my mustache. Oh, and they're giving me back the Jaeger. We wouldn't want to lose that. No, it's okay. You guys, why don't you take a bottle to the show?
I get frozen?
They're going to be they're gonna be at the Mystic tonight and all over the Dinaholics. And I just thought we should have a little festivities because it is Boxing Day. I think O'Docta, we just put you right out. I don't know if we got a shot of him. Are you disgruntled?
I'm not disgruntled. I've been drinking, and it's mustache day, and I was just listening to the songs.
I had to put on a mustache? Because all of yous has hair, facial hair, except me.
You scared me for a second. I thought that I was frozen. You said you lost me. I'm like, well, where am I if I'm not here?
We didn't lose you. We didn't lose O'Docta. By the way, I've decided to, instead of the Jaeger, I'm going with something a little more local, if you don't mind, you guys. This is American-born moonshine. It comes in a mason jar. Look at this. It's got a seal on it, so it must be legal. And you could drink it right out of the jar like that. And actually,
who's dragging you home tonight? They got a wheelbarrow or something?
You know,
put you in.
Marilyn really wilted my mustache there. I don't.
Also so great for dissolving bodies.
It would be. It would be.
And put it in the plastic bins.
Very handy. But you saw what happened at Breaking Bad. You don't want to make sure you don't use that in an iron bathtub because it'll go right through.
No! Don't do that. You'll get something else entirely.
Something complete. How are you guys doing, Paul and Storm? I haven't seen you in a year. We see you once a year. Everything going well in the storm? You guys don't live together anymore. I'm sorry to hear that.
Their name is pretty awesome to say it together.
Very sad.
We just want to be very clear, Leo, that we still love you very much, and it's not your fault. Mommy and Daddy will always love you.
Oh, my goodness. So where have you moved to?
Go ahead, Storm.
I am still rooted here in Arlington, Virginia.
Okay.
And Paul, you're somewhere to the north, I sense.
Yeah, I'm up outside of Philadelphia. I've been here for about 10 years. So thanks for staying on top.
I thought you lived in a clubhouse together because and then once in a while you get together and perform music. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Well, we have a mobile clubhouse. You know, it's a clubhouse of the heart. Okay. That's the kind of clubhouse it is.
It's like Woodstock Nation. Carry it with us.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you back. And I understand that Jonathan Colton really wanted to be here. He had his underwear collection all ready. But
I think that box is still sitting in his office.
I think it's still there. He couldn't. He's touring, I think, so he couldn't be with us this evening. He's been performing a lot. You guys went on the cruise with him, though. Yeah, how did that go?
That's been going well. We actually co-produced that cruise.
How many have you done now?
We have done 5, and we're going to be our sixth is happening February 21st.
People aren't sick of it yet?
Well, no, it's regardless of whether they're sick of it, they're still paying to come on it.
Close to 1,200, up to 1,200 people in 2016.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Who do we have this year, Paul? We have John Hodgman.
We have Hodgman, the late lamented Hodgman, who's no longer with us on these holiday casts, but he's with us.
Yeah, what happened? Did he get too big for us? Is that what happened?
I think, yeah, he doesn't do the online thing anymore. I think he is officially in his doomsday bunker at this point and only communicates via tapping on a metal pipe.
Last time he was on the show, he was in studio. He took his shoes off and started picking his toes, and I didn't take well to that.
I can't see why.
He sensed my dismay.
But we have, let's see, who do we have? We have Ali Brosh, who creates the Hyperbole and a Half webcomic. We have Imogen Heap, the great...
I love Imogen Heap. She is selling her records on the blockchain now. Did you hear that?
The blockchain? I don't know. Is that some phrase the kids use these days?
Yeah.
It's totally on the blockchain,
Explain
guys?
What the blockchain is, Doctor. You know that.
I don't.
Well, I'm not going to ask Dick T. Bartolo because I don't think...
I know who Imogen Heap is, but I don't know about the blockchain.
The chain that's on the block.
No. Yeah. It's what makes Bitcoin. It's the magic.
Oh.
It's the magic of the math. And Imogen Heap is... the first major sign. Well, she's not. Is she unsigned now? Is she on her own?
She is independent. She is an independent pioneer, much like Jonathan Coulton.
So she's decided to use the blockchain technology because, in some way, it protects artists' rights while still making it possible to. I love her to buy music. Her music is
and
great.
All that chatting has gotten me to bring up our website so that I can remember who
Joe Co Cruz.
Yeah, we've got John Flansburg from They Might Be Giants. Will be DJing dance party. Hip hop artist Jean Grey is coming. She was on last year and she was a total blast. Comedian Paul F. Tompkins, who is king of all podcasts. No offense, Leo.
I never heard of him. How can he be the king of all podcasts?
Because he's the world's greatest guest and host of podcasts.
Oh, he's a good guest. Well, I should have him on.
He's certainly a natty dresser.
He is. He's a very well-dressed man. He does a podcast. His current podcast is called Spontanea Nation. It's half interview and then half improv show based on the interview.
Kind of like this.
Kind of like this, yeah.
I thought he did. No, you shut up.
He does that as well.
No, you
we
shut
have,
up.
We have eight.
Oh, I see. You're doing a bit on us.
No, you shut up.
we have a whole comedy night, including Michael Ian Black from
I can't believe that. No wonder you get this many people on this.
Yeah, there we are. 12,000. We got The Butcher, Cameron Esposito. Yeah.
That's a big ship, too, for 12.
Let's see. Who else? Oh, we got Matt Fraction.
Leo. Yeah.
Yeah, we got Matt Fraction and Kelly C. DeConnick, great comic book artists and writers. Amy Mann and Ted Leo.
Amy Mann?
Yep. She's a return guest as
like
well.
The Amy Mann?
The Amy Mann. The one and only.
She's an Amy Mann and also the Amy Mann. Authors Pat Rothfuss and John Scalzi.
Pat Rothfuss? The name of the wind?
Yeah, totally.
That's the one.
Holy cow.
Steve Jackson of Steve Jackson Games. Will Wheaton, of the Will Wheatons.
And he's a repeat as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a regular.
He's been on every year.
Wow.
A whole bunch of great people.
6 years now. No, not you. You don't do this. It's not yearly. You do it more than once.
It is annual. Yes.
So this is 6 years you've been doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be our sixth. Yeah.
You know, I'm going on a cruise all by myself.
That sounds lovely.
I think it sounds awfully crowded with all of these performers. I just want to be by myself. But it's
like you rented a dinghy.
No, it's the same cruise line. It's RCL, but it's the Anthem of the Seas. You're going on the Freedom of the Seas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'm going in the Anthem of the Seas.
I think that's the sister ship of the Quantum of the Seas, I believe.
Where do they get these names?
Oh, who knows?
Out of a hat. They just sort of they sort of.
What is? What is,
this seems kind
of
nice.
Quantum of the Sea sounds like a James Bond episode movie.
Yeah, it's a Robert Ludlum novel.
What is Quantum of the Seas? That is a crazy name for a boat. At least Freedom sounds like you're free, you know, the freedom of the seas. But yeah, Quantum.
It's a ship where you can't know its position and speed at the same time.
It sails on quantum foam.
Yeah, it arrives before it leaves.
Perfect.
The next one out is going to be the buzzword of the seas, and they're really excited about that one.
And then they're just going to do emoji from then on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's going to be the Snapchat of the seas.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's just a matter of the time before you just use emojis. Dick D. Bartolo, how the hell are you?
I'm good, sir. And
I
you?
I don't want to leave you out of this, so just jump right in. What is?
Yeah,
what is
that? No.
What is? Every time we visit Disneyland, Dick's lair in Manhattan, there's something else going on. What is that over your right shoulder there? Are you growing a Christmas tree?
Oh no, this is my famous Christmas tree from the Colin Farrell movie.
Oh yeah, tell us the story of that, because this is your LED Christmas tree.
This is my fiber optic Christmas tree. It was many years ago, and they were doing a shoot down at the marina, and Colin Farrell plays a detective, and it's Christmas Eve, and he's lonely, and he walks out on the back of his deck, and he sees a houseboat where people are having a party. So they rented my houseboat, even though it was July, and they made my houseboat up with Christmas lights, and they had a party in the back window. And then the next day, the scenic people called and said, "We're coming down to take everything off your boat. Anything you want, take, because we are trashing everything that is there."
That's how movies are made, right?
Yes. And I said, "God, I love the fiber optic Christmas tree and some of those legs. Take anything. You'll save us grief of hauling it to the dumpster."
Wow. But so, now there it is.
There it is.
Colin Farrell, worshipped Christmas at that
point. Worshipped that thing.
That story was
the
so...
The
star of what?
Tree Cop 2.
Tree
the
Cop.
The redecorating. Yeah, I remember that one.
That story so moved me, I'm going to have another. Daddy's going to have another.
Daddy's going to have some eggnog.
Daddy's going to have another eggnog. I swear.
Storm's chugging. All right. It's a party now.
It's a party now.
Wow. What have I got to drink here?
Dixie Moonshine.
This
actually, what is that?
What the heck?
Oh,
is
this
that booze?
Is. Yeah. With my name.
It looks like cologne. You drink a cologne?
Wow. It does look like cologne.
Doesn't it? No, it's called Double Cross Vodka.
By the Vikings.
Yeah, they engraved my name on it, and I did a show, and that was to pay, okay?
Admit it. That's a bribe from some tech company, isn't it?
No, I did a thing for Producers Guild of America.
Oh, nice. And they gave you some Double Cross vodka.
Said,
how
yeah,
appropriate.
And they said, "Listen, we appreciate you doing that, and have some vodka and drink it and forget that you weren't
What's
paid.
The biggest bribe you've ever gotten from a tech company to give them a good review?
God, there's no such thing. No, I had a person call and said, this has to get on Good Morning America. And I said, there's no such thing as this has to get on Good Morning. I was doing GMA back then. And they said, no, you don't understand. It doesn't matter what it costs. It's going to get on Good Morning America.
Oh, my God.
I said, you got to be kidding. I said, first of all, how do we know anybody's going to like it? And I said, second of all, I don't even want to deal with this because you don't approach a reporter with that attitude.
It's an insult.
Yeah. So I think it was $100,000 I took.
And then didn't put it on Good Morning America.
That's right. No, it's ridiculous.
I once had a company send me a safe. A physical, you know, like a safe, like you put your valuables
like that,
in.
Like that weighs 5,000 pounds?
Yeah, it was a big old safe. We have it in the basement still. I'm trying to find a picture of this thing.
Well, when you say they sent it, you mean you were walking along on the sidewalk and it dropped,
dropped out of the height? No, that was the grand, that's where I got the grand piano. No,
okay.
And an anvil. Here it is. So this is a company that is no longer in business. It was called Securely.
Huh.
And they delivered it. It was a iOS password vault. Apps, see this app? Talk about a bribe. Apps you love from people you trust. Leo Laporte, podcasting legend, it said on the front of it.
Oh my God!
And then, they were.
It sounds like the beginning of a Reddit thread. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, OP will certainly deliver. If they were really smart, what they would have done is send you the safe, send it to you locked, and say, if this gets a good review, we'll send you the combination to open this and you, get the money that is contained inside.
I think they just should have sent you a dozen of those signs so you could put them on everything you have.
I know, podcasting legend. And apparently they did the same thing. You see, I have it on a hand truck. The thing was heavy. They did the same thing to a bunch of other tech journalists. They sent them a safe. Mm. And inside, I think, as I remember, inside where there was a USB key with their software on it.
Yeah, that's one way to make sure you open it up.
Have you, Doctor, you ever get anything like that wacky from the tech companies?
No, I got like video games and microphones. I'm not special enough to get into the upper echelon
where you get safe
drink engraved bottles yet. Yeah. You know, I'm just getting like free dinners and flights and stuff. You know, I get so like some white Hennessy.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That pure white cognac.
How does that go over in the African American community? Is that a popular?
Man, I'll tell you what, African American community pays double the price for this.
That's pure white.
This is what you get duty free when you travel internationally. It's $45 a bottle. I could put this on Craigslist for $90 all day.
Really?
All day. Why I'm not saying you... I've done it. I'm just saying I would and
why,
I did.
Why would you want white brown liquor?
Because everybody likes liquor, but some people like them white, like they women. I'm not judging anybody. You know, some
it's like Pepsi Clear, right? Don't they do that? Didn't they try that, the clear stuff?
They did do that, yes.
Crystal Pepsi.
Pepsi Clear's come back. It's out right now. You can get it in stores this month.
When they put out, what was it, Arian Coke, I think?
Arian Coke.
Yeah.
The drink of the Arian Nation.
Yeah.
Crystal Pepsi apparently does not taste like Pepsi.
It does not.
It also does not taste like Crystal.
What does it taste like?
Garbage.
Nothing.
Liquid garbage.
What the hell?
That's tastes like throwing $1.65 down the toilet.
Tastes like
pretty much
disappointment is what it tastes like.
Right? We just lost the Pepsi money.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just lost the endorsement.
That's okay. Actually, I should do an ad right now before I get too drunk. I should talk a little. Hey, actually, this is a good one. Do you guys meditate?
I do
sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
For the sake of this ad, you bet.
No, seriously. In fact, it's all the rage in Silicon Valley right now.
I meditate 3 times a week.
Is deep breathing, is that like part of it?
It's not the thing where you go and you know you get a mantra stuff. It's actually really this guy named Andy Puddicombe is a brilliant teacher of meditation. He was, you know, he was a monk. I mean, well, you know, he did all the stuff. But he's got the cutest British accent. I love him. And he's created an app called Headspace. It's an app. And you go, it starts you and explains how to do it. And the whole idea really is reduce stress, kind of center yourself, kind of feel good. I've been using this since July, and I am in love with this. Because I've been trying to reduce stress. You know, stress is very much an issue with health. And I've been trying to get healthier, eat right, drink more eggnog, that kind of thing. And this is part of my health regimen. It is, and by the way, we've got 10 free meditation sessions for you. If you go to headspace.com/twit, it's iOS, it's Android. Maybe you saw his TED Talk. He did a great TED Talk, Andy Puddicombe did. 5.5 million views on that. He can you hear his voice in this? Can you hear the audio?
Meditation and mindfulness.
There he is. That's Andy.
We'll show you how to train your mind for a healthier, happier,
he's so
more
cute.
Enjoyable life.
He's got this great English accent.
On your phone or on your computer.
And you know, when I hear this, I kind of start getting my blood pressure goes down, my heart rate slows down. Andy is in my head now. They have 4 million users, including Emma Watson, Jared Leto, Gwyneth Paltrow. This is not an airy-fairy thing. This is about starting your day with a guided meditation. It's easy to do. It's not, you're not sitting folded, legs folded and stuff. It is so awesome. I just want you to try it. I love this. Headspace.com/twit. They're a brand new sponsor. In fact, I think this is the first ad we've done for them. And I'm really a fan. Free 10-day trial. And I'm telling you, after 10 days, if you don't feel good, if you don't feel better, It's fine, but you will just. But and they know this. The key is really to get those first 10 meditations. They even have when you buy the app, which isn't very expensive. They have the whole thing. It's beautiful. I love it.
And how long is a meditation, Leo?
10 minutes.
Oh, great. Okay.
Did you seem like? I think you did meditate.
I did. I had a mantra.
You do yoga, right?
Yeah.
You're a very spiritual fella. You would like
really?
This.
Really?
Yeah. That's Storm's head on Headspace.
I just thought about meditating, and now I'm in the proper Headspace.
It shrunk your head.
I meditate 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Why don't you do it every day, Owen?
Because I'm a centered person, and the same way you see me rage out is the same way I come right back down.
Yeah.
I'm always balanced, baby.
Don't you love
everything
it?
Everything in doses. You can't do everything every day, man. You got to have balance.
You can't
even meditate every day.
Yeah.
Balance in all things, my brother.
This is kind of, to me, like exercise. Things. It's something I just kind of like want to start the day with. And I know
it's
that
good.
Right now I'm wearing a phony mustache, a phony gold bow tie, a velvet smoking jacket, and a Santa hat. But you can trust me.
That is the picture of trust. Yeah,
that is, yeah.
I feel like I should talk like this. You know who this guy is, Dickie D.
It should be your new Wikipedia front page picture.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you. Who is that guy, Dick? You know who that is. The Great Gildersleeve. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wow. Got that? Paul got that?
Paul got that. Thank you very much.
Oh, I went for Ed Wynn.
Mark it down.
The Great Gildersleeve. He had a radio show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe it. That's very good. I don't think I look like him, but I might sound a little bit like him. The Great Gildersleeve. Let's, we could play it. Yeah.
You need a new name off the DL.
Yeah, there he is. He was in a lot of movies, right? Oh, you can
get. Yeah, he was, although pretty much every guy of my generation, if you know the Great Gildersleeve, it was probably from the spoof that they used to do. There was a Looney Tunes spoof.
Right. Right.
Where that character was on it, although it wasn't actually him.
Hello. That is so wild. Well, I'm a little older than you, but I don't remember the Great Gildersleeve. I didn't remember
old-time
radio.
No, that's way old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I was like... Oh, here you go. Yeah, it was an offshoot of Fibber McGee and Molly. You know?
Yes. I think we can find... I want to listen... Oh, you know... Wait a minute. Let's just listen a little bit of... This is... Unfortunately, this is probably on real audio, you know. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the Great Gildersleeve Christmas show. Let's just listen to a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
It's you know, the day after.
Find the Boxing Day.
If we have an hour that we can go home.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. There he is. Yes. This is 1946, Christmas, 1946. You know, this reminds me a lot
it's
of this
the
show.
The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of parquet margarine.
Headspace.
And a complete line of famous quality
Headspace.
Food
Gildersleeve.
Well, it's almost here.
Yes.
Only one more day. And there isn't a kid in the whole country who looks forward to it with more eagerness than Gildersleeve. Here comes the great man now.
Yeah.
The front walk to his home. He's a little weary.
Somebody's saying he sounds like the guy behind the counter on Sanford and Son. Is that right?
His dimples, how merry. And what a load of parcels he's got.
What a load of parcels.
That's a load of parcels.
He can't even get hold of the doorknob.
Bertie! Bertie, quick, help me here, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, all in packages.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, Owen. All right. Stop it right there. That's it. Oh, my God. Oh, lousy, Mr. Gildersleeve. I am so sorry. Drink some of that white stuff. Oh, my God.
1946 wow. America. You were so quaint.
Does that... let me ask you this, Owen. Let's talk. Does that... does it? You look at that and say, "Well, of course, that was a long time ago, and people were ignorant then." Or is it? Do you find that as offensive as it must? I mean, it is offensive.
Well, personally, sir, I don't get too offensive about many things on the internet. Back in the day, we was just so happy to have a job. I mean, that brother was on the national news radio while other people couldn't even read. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he had a job, a stable employment, and he is here available for us to listen to decades after. How many people can say that?
Oh,
sir?
Man.
How many?
How many?
I smell Gilderstern reboot. I smell it in the air.
Have you seen Aziz Ansari's new TV show, Aziz Ansari?
Master of None.
Master of None. It's brilliant. And one of the very first episodes is about Indian actors. And I feel guilty about this because I do the Indian accent, and now I'm not going to do it anymore because all the Indian actors, they all have to talk like this. And that's the same thing, isn't it? It's just
it is.
Updated, right?
At the same time, like, the thing I just wish that I could just keep saying white people are crazy because we know white people are crazy. But now it's like the thing where, oh, you can't. I was like, some people's stereotypes, it just works. Like when a black comedian comes on and makes a joke about black people loving chicken, it's because black people love chicken. And yes, everybody loves chicken.
Everybody loves chicken.
When he says that, like, and as far as speaking in the culture of another language, like you hear that voice, you know what it is, you know what it's about. But as long as you're not using it in a negative, evil tone, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Right. Like when you have the old Asian things, they have slanted eyes. And, you know, some people take offense to it. Some people know it's a joke. But it depends on the context and the use of it and how you're trying to do it. Like, where's comedy going anymore? Like, it's like they try to destroy everything because you got to be so PC. I mean, I don't go Donald Trump crazy. But, I mean, like, if it's playful and it's funny, if it's funny, it's funny. Like, I heard that, and I literally thought, like, oh, he's about to cut that off.
Yeah.
Not because I'm here, because somebody else, like, if I wasn't here, and it was a panel of white men.
Oh, we'd all laugh about it. We'd talk about it. We'd say, oh, those black people, they're so funny.
You get so many emails. Oh, Leo, I can't believe you played that. And
So this is an interesting question, because comedy often has, somebody's the butt of the joke always, right?
Yeah.
And some modern comedians often are self-deprecating, so they make themselves the butt of the joke. But there's always somebody. Look, you're all comics, right? I mean, Dick, this has been your profession for 60 years. Not stand-up, but you write humor.
Yeah, for Mad. Yeah, exactly.
Paul and Storm, as great musically as you are, it's a very funny act. You do a lot of comedy in your act.
We're going to be writing for the new Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, you're kidding. Congratulations. Yeah. They just raised a ton of money.
$6.3 million.
Holy cow. I hope you're getting a little bit of that cheddar.
Not nearly enough.
This much.
Oh, that's exciting. We're going to talk about that in a second. Let me put a tack in that.
Okay, put a pin in that.
I do want to go back to that, but I think this is interesting. So, Dick, your comedy is very gentle. And very sweet.
Yeah. The thing is that we don't, at Mad, we take on idiotical things, but we never make fun of religion or color or, although, you know, Mad has really changed over the years. Very funny because a professor or someone writing a thesis on comedy said, you know, I looked at some very early Mads and they did a lot of Mad gay stereotypes.
Oh, interesting.
And he gave me an issue number, and I went back and looked it up, and I had written it. It was
you're kidding.
Every kind of camp that kids could go to, and one was camp drag.
Oh, how funny.
And it was, you know, like 8 stereotype things kids could do there. And I was talking to John Ficarra, and he said, you know, I told him about the article, and he said, well, you know what? Sometimes we reprint things, but we put a banner at the top of the reprint saying, society has changed, Mad has changed, but this is something that we thought was doable 40 years ago.
Right.
So that, you know, it's like turning to classic movies. There'll be a terrible a black person stereotype. They don't edit it out. But you sort of look at it and go, well, that was terrible back then.
It doesn't age well.
Yes, it doesn't age well at all. It doesn't age well at all.
But I want to point out that we're not so enlightened. I mean, that Aziz Ansari thing really opened my eyes to the stereotypes we have of East Indians, you know?
Yes.
And I hadn't really thought about it. And he was all upset because the Indian in the Johnny Five movie, the scientist in the was Short Circuit. Mm-hmm. Plays an Indian, he's a white man, and he says that's really insulting. Or when Charlie Chan is played by Warner Oland, a white guy,
yes.
and they tape his eyes back.
Yeah. Yes,
and he
I don't know if you can see this, but this is what happens when you're black too. My friend texted me this, and it is a classic Christmas cartoon she was watching with her kids, and she's like, "Oh my god, my husband made me turn this off and text you." And I'm like,
that's like
whatever.
The little black Sambo. That's the.
So then she's like, "No, look, he's also shining shoes."
Oh my god!
Oh, wow.
And then she's like, "Look, they got all the races. They got the Asian people with the." And I was like, "Well, what show is this? Like, okay, that's pushing it a little bit too far."
And that was current. So old.
It was from.
Yeah, I'm sure it was the 40s.
Yeah, Classic Christmas Volume 1. Oh well, re-released 2006. I don't know when it was originally.
I'm
released,
sure
but
that was the 40s.
Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, something. It's an old movie. But I'm like, back then, again, like, I'm like, if you're watching it and the kids are enjoying it, just watch it and then explain to them about stuff.
Right.
But, you know, it's almost just as bad as if you turn it off and don't let them know that it's not okay
right.
to
how
do
it
that.
Was. That's how it
so,
was.
It was.
Knox Harrington in our chat room is pointing out, if you watch White Christmas this year, I watch it every year. Yep. It wasn't White Christmas. It was Holiday Inn. The first place White Christmas was sung. They do all the holidays, including Lincoln's birthday, and it's blackface. It's done in blackface.
Mm-hmm. Now, blackface, I got a problem with.
It's because it's white guys. It's white people, right? But that's the minstrel shows, right?
Yeah, that's something else I can't explain. Blackface. Okay, so hearing that voice doesn't really annoy me that much because I don't really care. There's something inherent when I see old blackface that just enrages my heart because I'm like, you couldn't even give a brother a job. Like, you couldn't even.
Yeah, yeah, white guy got the job.
Stand there.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, even just that point, I'm like, really? You're going to shuck and jive? You couldn't have somebody do it? You didn't have a servant or somebody?
I want to say that, you know, we've gotten better. And in some respects, I guess we don't do that anymore. But I saw your Instagram and it broke my heart, Owen, that you got pulled over for driving while black for the 12th time this year.
Yeah.
And you know why it broke my heart? Because you were driving your daughter to school.
Yeah.
And well, she had to experience that.
And that's the second time when she's been in the car. Like the one time I was right at her school and the guy pulled me over. And the funny thing is I'm not with her mother. So when I take her to school on my days, her mom still makes her lunch. So I stop at the house. She jumps out of the car, gets her lunch,
so
comes
cute.
Back.
Aww.
So the thing was, the cop sees me pull up to the street, stops for 30 seconds, and then pull off. I don't know if he thought I was picking up drugs or doing a drug deal or whatever because I was in and out of the driveway. But he literally pulled me over, and he's like, oh, well, you know, you're stop and go back there. I'm like, I was picking up my daughter's lunch, bro. Like,
that's
she's
so
in the back
sad.
Seat. I was right around the corner from the school, and he's like,
so sad.
Oh, you going to school? Like, I'm not trying to avoid you to go through school to hide from you. Like, I'm dropping off my child. Like,
you hope we're getting better. And then, Dick, I got to call you on this. You see this new cover of Mad Magazine, and you're making fun of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know. The one person in the world you would think we would leave alone. When the cover came out, I even had a tweet that I said, did you ever think the day would come when on a cover of Mad Magazine, Alfred would come off looking better than the other subject?
Anyway, I feel terrible for you. And I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I mean,
The answer is time. Things are way better than they are.
I guess
people are way better than they are. And there's always been bad people in the world. You know what I mean? Like I said, people dislike Jews, Muslims. There's always somebody to hate. There's always somebody to be hateful.
We need that, don't we? We need that. People need that. We need the other to make us feel better, or just because I think it's genetic that we have our tribe and then there's the other. And the other always has to be bad, don't they?
Well, my one friend was going off about Donald Trump, and she was like, well, you should make an angry video about Donald Trump because, you know, I'm really good at that. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually thankful to Donald Trump. I should make a thank you video to Donald Trump because I know he's acting and he's doing whatever he needs to do for attention, but at the same time, he's cutting the grass, and I get to see a whole lot of snakes in that grass. I see all kinds of people that I'm friendly with that are agreeing with certain things, and I'm like, check you off the list. I'm not saving you from a burning building. You can get flushed out of the toilet. And I'm sitting there like, thank you, Donald Trump, so much for showing these evil people surrounding me. I love to see the snakes in the grass. So very appreciative of Donald Trump.
You mentioned that you at least a brother was getting a job or a sister was getting a job in that old-time radio show. This is the quintessential example of this. The great Butterfly McQueen, who was a great actress in Gone with the Wind, but played, of course, kind of this stereotype. But boy, was she a great actress. And
you're as slow as molasses in January. And where's Dr. Mead?
I never
see.
What?
And she was she said she was glad to be working. And I guess in 1939, that was the best you could do.
I'll be back in 30 seconds. I'm going to go get something so I can show it to you.
Okay. We're going to take a break.
Let's take the next 3.5 hours. Let's just watch Gone with the Wind. What would people do?
I wish I could do it. What a great movie. I probably just violated 18 copyright laws doing that. That's really frustrating, by the way. No, you know what? This is fair use because this is a news show. Yes, I know I'm wearing a fake mustache and drinking eggnog and moonshine, but this is a news program and we're talking about serious subjects. And so that's an
That's what we should try, Paul, on our next album.
Do you guys get news? Do you get in copyright trouble?
No, well, we did have one takedown notice.
Really?
We did a cover song. And someone was claiming they had rights. We did a parody version of the song.
Parody is always okay, right?
Parody is in a world of its own.
Here's the king of parody.
It is.
Yeah. Dickie D knows that.
But the funny thing was the takedown notice was issued by another artist's representation who had done their own parody version.
Wait a minute. A parody of a parody is not covered.
No.
except we weren't parodying the parody.
They have parody first rights.
Ask questions later mentality where just take it down.
Yeah, that's
and then
right.
It's the burden of that person who, we're independent artists. We can't have our lawyers go and clear it up. So you just make a calculation. Is it worth my time to put this video out there? And then, and the big guy wins every time, pretty much.
Dick, has Mad Magazine been sued ever?
Yeah, Mad got sued by Irving Berlin.
Really?
Frank Jacobs had written a takeoff lyrics to one of his songs. And he sued Mad for, $500,000. And Frank Jacobs said, could he pay it off at $5 a week? Irving Berlin didn't think that was funny. So it did go to court. And the judge said, Mr. Berlin, they are not printing your music. And in fact, you should be flattered that people know your music well enough that they can sing this parody to the tune. But Mad owes you nothing. So
there you go.
Yeah. That was like one of the landmark cases of fair use, I believe.
Really? I bet it was. That sounds correctly. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Gaines, for years, even before parody was so accepted, if he would find a magazine anywhere that he would read about that was being sued, he would call them and say, listen, I have lawyers. Let me cover all your court costs because one day if they sue little magazines, they will slowly work their way up to suing me. And I want to get this taken care of right away. And so now it's parody with the intention, parody as comedy is a viable art form, I believe, is what the rule is now.
Right on. Thank you, Bill Gaines.
Amen.
Many things to thank Bill Gaines for. Oh, look, Owen's grown a head of hair.
So, what I was doing earlier.
Yeah.
I told my friend, I was like, he's like, oh, you should make videos about things that are so blatantly racist and be a black guy that agrees with the racism. So I bought happyblackie.com, and that was the voice is going to be.
Oh, my God.
I love Mr. Trump. I know one thing. There's something crazy about the Muslims. I don't know what it is. They pray a lot. They got rugs. But all I know is Donald Trump has great hair. And somebody with great hair, such as myself, has nothing to disagree with Donald Trump. You think it's crazy, but I think it's amazing. You think it's a wig, but I'm telling you, it's real.
See,
Happy Blackie.
See, that's Happy the way. Blackie. That's the way to fight it. That's the way to fight it, isn't it?
No matter what, this black guy's always happy.
Yeah, use humor. Use humor to fight it. And use parody. That's the power of parody. The power of satire, particularly of satire, is it punctures the pomposity.
Yeah,
exactly.
And say that after three Jaegers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm in the mood for? A little more music. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't remember their name.
The Rat Pack. Dean something.
Dina Holics.
The Dina Holics.
But the drink ain't fake, baby. Courtesy Leo.
Kick it in, mama.
How lucky can one guy be? Well, I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, oh, ain't that a kick in the head? How the room was completely blank. Well, I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? Well, my head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, our life is going to be beautiful. I have sunshine and love to spread. Well, it's just that old fella said, how we quick, hey, love a kick in the head. Here's my favorite part. Oh, yeah, we're going to be at the Mystic tonight. We're going to be over at the Elks Lodge in April here in Petaluma, so make sure you come out and see us. I know tonight was back in December, but we hope to see you down.
He didn't give her the last name. But
sing that song. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? Well, my head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, our life is going to be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She won't let me on her side of the bed. Well, I couldn't be any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, whale of a kick. Tell me quick, whale of a kick in the head.
I'll drink to that.
Woo, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dana.
But ladies and gentlemen, before we get too crazy, how about something a little more Christmassy your way?
Yeah.
I give you the late Marilyn Monroe.
I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you alone. I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-doop-a-dee-dum, boop. I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone.
One. What's the matter?
Oh, come down. dance with me?
You?
Me.
You? Both of us?
Sure.
Jackie, come off the headspace. Why? I'm bald as an egg. I'm bald as a Frank Sinatra.
He's got the toupee years.
Oh, thank you, Peter. It's so good to see you. Oh, thank you for coming out tonight.
Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, as we mentioned, on April 22nd, we're going to be here in Petaluma at doing a fundraiser for the Elks Lodge. So make sure you come out and see us.
Bring your antlers.
It's a
I'm a moose.
Even though it's April.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. For the bunny with the antlers. Miss Marilyn? Isn't it? You're right.
She knows the girl.
I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. I want to be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you. Diddly, 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 dum. Boop, boop, doo. Yeah, thank you.
The Dinaholics, ladies and gentlemen. We are having fun. This is a special edition. If you just tune in and you go, what are they all talking about? There's no tech news the week of Christmas. So we always like to do a holiday edition. This is our Boxing Day edition, the day after Christmas, Boxing Day edition of This Week in Tech. As always, with the great Paul and Storm, they're going JoCo Cruise crazy in just a couple of months. Go to JOCOcruise.com if you'd like to join the gang. And you have so many great guests this year. Dick T. Bartolo, he's the GizWiz. Go to GizWiz.tv to see his weekly show with the great OMG Chad. And
yes, sir.
Supported on Patreon. And Owen J.J. Stone.
Barbecue sauce, because it's delicious. It's on my chicken, applesauce, grapes, everything. Mm. Have you ever had it on Rice Krispie treats? It's delicious.
He's the only happy black man, ladies and gentlemen. Our show...
Quick segue.
Quick. Our show brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is a great learning platform for all of you people. All year long, we've been so happy to have Lynda as a sponsor because we know that if you watch our shows, not this show in particular, but if you watch our shows, you like to learn. You're learning nothing from this show, but you like to learn, and that means you would love Lynda.com. These are not YouTube videos. These are professional.
Lynda taught me Flash. Lynda totally taught me Flash.
Absolutely. And now she can unteach you Flash. She can. No, seriously, big bunch of HTML 5 classes on there. If it's time to move on from Flash, and believe me, it is. Lynda.com's got it for web development, for programming, for office, for business skills, too, for CAD and design. It's nothing like Lynda.com. If you're interested in photography and image editing, they've got I am an absolutely avid photographer, and I love the Lynda courses on photography. Photoshop Creative Cloud Essential Training, Photoshop for Photographers, 2015 Creative Cloud Updates. Those are new. They also have advanced courses, things like performance tuning your Canon Digital SLR, Lightroom Insider Training, and series like Photo2's Weekly, and of course the great Burt Monroy's Pixel Playground. What a great there's Ben Long. Looks like drone photography with Ben this week. That's exciting. Light painting with a drone at night. Now, that sounds cool. See how well lit that is, how great it is. They really do. They take great care to make fantastic videos. And you know what's nice? You pay one flat rate, and you get access to everything. So you don't have to declare a major at Lynda.com. You can watch a little bit of everything or watch any course all the way through. You could download them and watch them on your iOS or Android device on the go. They've got great written transcripts. Oh, I love black and white photography. I want to do more of that. They got great transcripts so you can search right into the course you want. Look, we got 10 days free. Just go to lynda.com/twit2 and give it a try. I think you'll love it. L-Y-N. And by the way, great teachers. That's my friend Ben Long, who's not only a great photographer, passionate, talented photographer, but also a great teacher. And that's what this is all about, really. The best teachers, the best subjects. Lynda, L-Y-N-D-A.com twit and the number 2. And we thank them so much for their support of this show all through the year.
So here's the important question, Leo. Where did you get that fabulous jacket?
Oh, my wife gave this to me. Isn't it beautiful?
Yes, it is.
I have to ask her. She got this for me as a Christmas present last year. And it's velvet and satin. And, you know, I've had through the years a series of very tatty smoking jackets. This one is in perfect condition. Did you get this on Etsy?
I think Ruby Lane.
Ruby Lane.
It's 1940.
But it's vintage. It was the great Gildersleeves. And they got him
in
an estate sale. Yes.
I'm dead now.
You know what
please
the greats?
Please wear my clothing.
Please, I won't be needing this in hell.
Preserve my legacy, please.
But the great thing about this is it did not fit me when she gave it to me, and I've lost 20 pounds, I'm happy to say. And it fits now. So it's a happy moment. But, of course, I'm gaining all that weight back as we speak. I'll drink to that. You guys are great. I really appreciate your being here. It's always a puzzle what to do at the end of the year, and I don't want to do the usual thing. I like to do the holiday show, and I think you asked us earlier in the year, are you guys going to do it? And at the time, I thought, no, but what did we do? I don't think we did it last year, but I think it's time to
I don't think we did last year.
It's time to bring it back. We did the new, and I should warn people, because in a couple of days, they're going to tune into it, hoping to see our 24-hour New Year's Eve special, and I won't be here. I'll be on a freaking boat. I will. That's when I'm going to be on the Anthem of the Seas.
I hope you're bringing that jacket.
I should.
Soon we'll be making another run.
Hey, Gopher. Whoa! Look at that. Have you been on Royal Caribbean on your other trips? Is that or is this the first time?
Oh! What the ship?
No, but I mean, are you normally on RCL?
We started out on Holland America the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And then it's been Royal Caribbean for
and you,
the past
and you guys like it?
27.
You have to. You guys like it, obviously.
Yeah. They do a great job there.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm looking forward to it. This one has unusual accoutrement. It has a crane.
Yep.
You have this too?
No, but we've been on the Quantum, which has the same thing.
Yeah, with a bubble.
Yeah,
it's like the London Eye, and then you get in it, and then it goes out over the water.
Wow!
And it dumps you into the sea,
and it drops you into the sea. There it is. There's the crane. You see that?
It's got a. Does that one have the skydiving simulator?
Yeah, it has a skydiving simulator. I fly. It's a giant fan. And one of the reasons I lost weight is so that I can go on that thing. It's on the back of the boat there because, it blows you in the air. You put on a skydiving suit and then it blows you in the air. They have a bumper car thing. They have rock climbing wall.
Well, they have the robot bar. Do they have that
robot
on the Anthem?
Bar? They do. I don't know if
we
they're
going to. When we did a brief one of the perks we get is we sometimes get sent out on these sort of preview sailings.
Yeah.
And we did that one for the Quantum, and it was the two of us and Colton and our other partner, and we spent a good hour trying to see if we could break the robot bar, because the thing where you enter your drink order via these tablets and you
can that's the robot bar.
You can either enter pre-programmed drinks, or you can sort of build your own drink. And we were trying, you can do up to something like 20 steps. So we were doing stuff where we're like, okay, put in some ice and then put in a shot of vodka and then put in more ice and then put in a lemon and then put in a lime and then put in more ice. And we were trying to, we successfully broke it 2 or 3 times.
What do you mean? Broke it? Did it go wild and beat people?
No, just started throwing glasses.
Body parts everywhere.
It just stopped and shrugged, basically. And the guy had to hit a reset button and he looked at us
It feels like they're holding back. They're moving slower. They could move a lot faster. They don't want to scare you.
Bar.
And the booze is above them, right?
Yep.
Those are the bottles hanging upside down.
Yeah, and if you see in the back there, there's sort of what look like little soda fountains tucked into those black areas. That's where they get, like the soda water, club soda and things like that, and the ice and such. So it's a whole sort of system.
So now, this boat has 5,000. 6,000 passengers on it. Is there, there must be, is there a line for the robots? Because it seems like they're moving slowly.
Well, it's kind of neat. They have it set up so that they have iPads all around. So you just order from wherever you are, and then there's a board. It actually shows statistics of what's being ordered at any given moment.
So by, like,
name of drink, by what's in the drink. So you hang out. They've got music playing, so it's sort of a robot rave.
This is the entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
This is it. The sole entertainment on the ship is watching these two industrial robot arms make gin and tonics all week.
And you have to think these robots are going, I used to work in a Ford factory, and now I'm...
I used to
build Mercedes.
I was making Mercedes, and now it's whiskey sours for... Dick, love cruises. You love the boats, don't you?
I do. I did a couple of cruises for Cunard. Yeah. I did...
I did a
crossing. You had to do 2 1.5-hour shows to get a free crossing.
Oh, so what'd you do?
I did backstage at Mad Magazine.
Nice, fun.
And then I did backstage at game shows.
Oh, yeah, because you did the match game. I don't know if you guys know this. Oh, Dick, really? You've grown your afro out.
You haven't. You took you that long and noticed that, dude. Yeah. It took you this long.
I just wanted to see how much booze Leo had.
I a lot of booze. I'm like, how are you not talking about his luxuriousness? You can't see the luxuriousness in front of your face, looking like a young Elvis Presley.
He
with
does.
A beard.
He does. Elvis.
Double cross vodka puts hair on your head.
Cunard is, of course, the QE2, the QA3, the Queen Mary.
The Queen Mary, too.
And you were on the new Queen Mary, right?
Yeah, that was a perk of ABC. And these guys are talking about going on one of those first cruises for the press. And I called my producer at ABC and I said, I'm going to do a spot and you cannot say no to it. And he said, okay,
deal.
What is the spot? I said, technology on the Queen Mary 2. And he said, oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I said, okay, good. Because I've got to go on that ship.
And I've told you this. The original Queen Mary as a kid.
Oh, the one that's in Long Beach?
The one that's now in Long Beach.
Yeah.
In 1967, it was the second to last voyage. And I was a kid, and we were coming back from Europe, and we sailed on the Queen Mary, and I will never forget it. They brought you it was the last gasp, probably, of the grand old days of cruising, of ocean, transoceanic liners. They had deck chairs. You'd go sit there. The purser would come out, cover you with a blanket, and then he'd come around with cups of hot bouillon, and you'd drink a cup of hot bouillon. And you'd say, bring me the entertainers. I want some blackface. And they would come and they would perform. It was.
And they'd wheel forth the stock ticker machine and it would just tumble out. Check your stocks.
Sell the Union Carbide.
Constant calls for Philip Morris.
That's very funny.
I think they had people in little hats. They weren't midgets, but they had See, there's another thing we've got to stop saying. They're little people.
They're little people.
Yes,
right.
Yes, they're little people.
They weren't little people in hats, but they were. There were bellboys that would go around and do things like call for Philip Morris.
You're bearing the lead here, though, Leo, because you were just saying that Dick worked on the match game, and this is a direct that great interest to me. In fact, somebody in the chat apparently said that you single-handedly saved the match game, and I would like to know if that is true, and if so, how.
Before you say this, just have to get everybody in the mood. Let's play a little match game music.
Oh, yeah. Excellent!
Yeah,
Gene Rayburn.
Let's match
with the
stars as five celebrities try to play the match game.
Mark Goodson, Bill Todman, production. So, Dick, tell this story, because this is a great story.
So I was hired to write the match game, but when the match game first came on, they were all straight questions. Name something you can do with an egg. Name a president who appears on Money.
Can you imagine how boring this game is?
Yeah. And so it was a year contract, and 10 months in, Mark Goodson called me in, and he said, listen, NBC did not pick up match game for another year. So I'm just telling you now so you can start looking for work. But you have 2 months of shows, so it's just a heads up. And then over the weekend, I was thinking, God, you know what? Something could be done with this show. So on Monday, I went and I said, Mark, I have an idea. I said, you know, I work for Mad. He goes, I know. I said, so why are we doing these straight questions when we could be doing things like Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank? And that was the very first match game question ever.
Was it really?
Yes. And Goodson laughed and he said, well, that's funny, but what are people going to say? I got to say, Mark, they're going to laugh. And then they're going to say meatloaf, mashed potatoes.
Right.
And he said, well, yeah. it's canceled. They can cancel it twice. Do it you want.
Riley's going to wiggle his glasses.
Yes. So I started writing those. And a month later, Goodson called me in and he goes, you know what, Dick? This is working really well because they picked it up for another year. If I had gotten 1% of the show, I'd be a multimillionaire.
I
gave myself 18 years of employment. So that was good.
Well, I was kind of hoping your story was going to be, I was the guy that said, you know, Gene's microphone should be longer and skinnier.
No. But you know,
that was the key to keeping the show. But, you know, the show.
Gene Rayburn, and God bless him, and I'm following his footsteps because Dick, he had to have been a little bit tipsy, at least some of the time during that show.
Well, the afternoon shows were always that way, right? Because they did five shows a day, so that it was three shows in the morning. And then there was an hour and a half lunch break where they served they served wine. They didn't like people to leave the studio, so you had wine during lunch.
Oh, so they
and
were
then when
a
they
little,
went back. Yeah, so the Thursday and Friday shows were much looser. with people saying things they wouldn't say on Tuesday, Wednesday.
I have a little video of the match game. This is the band episode.
Joan Collins.
And you might remember this. So these were big celebrities. And this was the primetime version of Match Game.
Yes. Yes.
Did they shoot that separately or?
The nighttime version was on ABC.
Okay.
And that was a whole other production.
So you weren't involved in this production?
No, yeah, I wrote them all.
Oh, you wrote this too? He looks like he was smoking, wasn't he? That's something you don't see
back
every
then,
day.
Yeah.
And there's
his microphone.
There it is.
Oh, I love that. And he was so cool because he'd hold it at his waist, you know?
Yeah. and you know what, how that mic came about? You know, you do this, Leo.
Yeah.
During commercial breaks, Gene would walk out into the audience.
Right. Joan Collins, look at her.
And he could never hear, the rest of the audience could not hear what the contest.
They called
the
her the white,
saying.
The white trash Liz Taylor was Joan Collins. I'm sorry. So he would stick the microphone
Rayburn,
in their face.
Rayburn said to the sound guys, can I get a longer mic? And then they said, well, it looks funny on the game. So they gave him this telescoping mic. So that he could make it any length he wants.
But he liked him to have it long, obviously.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Because it was so cool because you would have it. I always wanted to be able to just hold my mic at my waist.
Why don't you just carry a mic stand around with you?
I should.
See, this it's game shows like this. I know I grew up watching them. And these were the types of things that always made me believe when I was young that all famous people knew each other and all they did was hang out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And whip all day. It was like, you know, it was just one huge Algonquin round table with ascots.
I think this is the one where they were a little tipsy because I understand Charles Nelson Reilly really lost it. Were there times when the celebrities would answer the dirty answer? Because there was a lot of innuendo.
Yes. Fanny Flagg, I forgot what the question was, but she said genitals.
Well, that's not so bad.
Well, back then it was.
Oh, 74.
You couldn't say that. Yeah.
You know, the first time they said boobs, they actually, the censor, we had censors back then in the early days, the censor turned to his wife and said, is that okay for people to hear? And she said yes.
His wife.
And so thank God.
The censor's wife approved it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look, so we Dick, had 15 my, years of boobs. I have the best staff in the world. Because my staff has now made for me an extending mic.
Oh, look at you are so lucky.
And now I, too, like Gene Rayburn, I can reach it out into the audience.
Well, the mic is drunk. The mic's had Jaeger shots just like you.
Your mic doesn't seem quite as virile as Gene Rayburn.
His mic's been drinking. It's just as virile. It's just as good. It's just
I swear
drunk,
to God,
okay?
This never happened.
This never happened before.
You need electronic Viagra. They make it. I think Audiobox makes it.
All right.
I'm seeing the chat. Yeah.
What? The chat? Are you watching the chat?
Oh, yeah.
There's your mistake right away there.
No, Dick, you're also Winky Dink. You wrote on Winky Dink and You, correct?
Yes.
See, the chat room knows Dick pretty darn well.
The chat room is like amazing.
No, my dad tells me stories about getting in trouble because he would draw on the TV on that show. And that might have been the last time he watched TV.
My wife has just walked in. Come here, honey. Just walk over here a little bit.
Okay, this is gonna be. Yeah,
look at that. She completely
no more booze for that
man. Completely fixed my mic. Let's do it.
Yeah, now let's do an ad read.
Let's do it. I have carefully arranged it so that the most offensive part of the show comes right before every ad read. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have.
Transitions.
Ladies and gentlemen, our show today brought to you by. I love this microphone. This is awesome. Our show today, and it's now very firm and upright. Our show today, we were playing a game before the show began where I would ask our esteemed panel, and Dick, you have to rule yourself out because you've been doing shows here a long time, probably Old Doctor too, but Paul and Storm maybe don't know what FreshBooks is. It's actually a lifesaver for probably a lot of the panelists here. Anybody who works as a freelancer and has to bill a client to get paid. And you know that's the worst part, isn't it? The worst part of being a freelancer is rummaging through receipts, trying to keep track of your expenses. And then at the end of the month, God, creating and formatting and sending invoices. Do you hate that?
It's the worst.
It's the worst. And then, worse than that, the client who doesn't pay you. Yeah. Like, and now what do you do?
Oh, this is too close to home.
When is our check coming, Leo?
Yeah, well, no, you guys forget it. If you use Fresh, you know what? Clients love FreshBooks as much as you do. First of all, FreshBooks makes it really easy to invoice with professional-looking invoices. They go out. You can mail them, but they also go out by email, and that's actually great because there's a Pay Me button right in there, and clients love it because, you know, the truth is, and I've learned this about clients, they hate paying you as much as you hate invoicing them. It's just more paperwork. They want to do their business. You want to do your business, so make it easy. They press the Pay You button, and you get paid faster. In fact, now you can even get paid up front. You can request a deposit in FreshBooks, so you don't have to cover costs out of pocket or wait to the end of a project to get your loot, your moolah. It lets you organize the expenses easily. They have an app, so you could actually take a picture of receipts and then put it right into the invoice. If you do time and hours, which none of you guys do because obviously, you don't.
Because our time's not worth anything.
I was going to say that, but I backed down. Maybe not. You can track your time if you have the app. And that's nice because it goes right in the invoice. And here's the best part, automated late payment reminders. So they're the heavy, not you. You can avoid those awkward emails and you get paid faster. With FreshBooks Automated Customer.
That's the best.
I know. You guys should be using this. If you're in a business where you get reviews, you can do this. They have this new thing, this customer reviews report. So it collates your reviews. You can see them. You can post them on your website. And they have they have a card reader. So you can accept credit cards. They swipe it right through there on your iPhone in less than a minute. It's EMV. That means it works with chip cards as well as swipe cards. It's the new standard. Works right out of the box. So this is awesome. You open your invoice in the FreshBooks app. You plug in the reader. You say, this is the bill. They swipe or dip the chip or swipe the stripe. That's the new. That's how the kids talk today. Dip the chip or swipe the stripe. And
kids are always swiping the stripe.
They're swiping the stripe, man. And you get paid. FreshBooks. Yes. They continually innovate. They're really good. They're Canadian, too, which makes you...
But, Leo, I don't necessarily want to spend a bunch of money on this product that I haven't tried yet.
You know...
I feel like I need a good 30 days commitment. Before I'm sure I want
to pay for Surely there's a 30-day free trial somewhere in this. Why, yes, there is at FreshBooks.com/twit. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support all year long. It's been a great year. We've really had a lot of fun at Twit. It seems like it's been kind of a downer year in some ways. But then there's been really cool stuff. Remember the flyby of Pluto? We got to see that the planet Pluto, even if the planet Earth doesn't have love, the planet Pluto has a big heart on it.
Yeah.
I think, in some way, will we be sad to see 2015 in the rearview mirror?
We're sad to see anything go. By the way, Uncle Leo, before you get on to talking about your last 2015, I got a Christmas song. Jason's got it. I like to play it for you. And this is somebody who's a very angry man. He's a very angry rapper. But even he can see the joy in life when it comes to the holiday season.
All right, everybody.
And you, too, should look back at 2015 with a smile on your face
your eggnog,
and get out the door.
Get your eggnog. Get your moonshine. Relax and listen.
I got it.
Here we go.
Holidays, you get used to smelly odors. You think it smells jolly, but your guests disagree. Febreze Aerosols doesn't just mask, it eliminates odors you've gone nose blind.
Santa's funky.
Break out the Febreze.
We just got
Is that? Is that? Oh, okay. What was that all about? What was that all about?
Wait, what was that? That was my video.
That was the link I was passed.
Thank you very much for sending us.
You sent us a Febreze.
Are you trying to tell me something, Owen? Are you saying that even through the television, through Skype, that I stink?
From DMX. And you know why? Because my ad is to Santa Claus. How'd they just send you the ad?
So this,
not the video after the ad.
So it only shared the ad that came before the video. That is really bizarre.
That is the worst.
Wait a minute.
To be fair, you guys, Febreze's first album was really dope.
I agree. But it's always that sophomore album. That's
when I'm not drinking Jägermeister, I'm drinking Febreze. Fortunately, I have Jägermeister at the moment.
All right, Owen. Tell me, and I will search for it because I have YouTube Red. I don't get ads in my video. So which one? What should I search for?
DMX Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Who? By who?
DMX.
DMX.
DMX Rudolph.
How do you spell that, huh?
I think
you
I
know
have
what?
It. I
do I want
you.
The remix or the original?
The original. I don't know about the remix.
I want the official. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, because I'm YouTube Red.
And honor and blessing, but do you recall the most famous
Jesus. Oh my God. Is this what you wanted?
Come on. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call them names. They never went for Rudolph, turning any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on! With your nose so bright, won't you ride my sleigh tonight? And all the reindeers love him.
That is the worst. The worst. Thank you, Owen J.J. Stone.
At this point, I love the fact that it's so bad, I'm not even going to tell you that's not the right video. Because
that's not it either?
I'm letting this whole show right on down.
It says that's the official. It says that's the official video.
Whatever. You got YouTube Red. I can't trust YouTube Red.
Which one?
No. We're leaving it at horrible. I just ruined some of my own Christmas spirit. They put some funky DJ music behind.
All right. I can put you back in a little bit more of the drunk musicians in the back of the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Dinaholics.
A last little ditty for all you Christmas fans out there. And especially since I stole Leo's booze. This is a dedicated to Leo.
Hey!
Rudy, the red-nosed bartender, had a very shiny nose, And if you ever saw her, you would even say it glows.
Like a light bulb.
All of the other alcoholics used to laugh and call him names. They never let Paul Rudy play any bartender games. Then one foggy New Year's Eve, Father Time came to say, Rudy, with your nose so bright, won't you bartend my party tonight? Then how the Dinoholics loved him.
How we love him.
As they shouted how with glee.
Oh, hot dog.
Rudy, the Red Rose bartender, you're go down in history. Thank you, everybody, with the Dinoholics. We're going to be at the Mystic tonight.
Yeah,
in April. Appreciate you guys
God
having
bless
us.
And stay
Merry
those
Christmas.
Streets.
Okay, that did not put me in the Christmas spirit, but that's
I'm actually happy that it was horrible.
Did
though,
you want Rudolph on crack? Is that what you wanted?
No. We don't want Rudolph on anything. We're leaving it just like this. We got drunk Rat Pack people, and we got a horrible reindeer DJ mix. We're good to go. Merry Christmas. The video is drunk. Your microphone's drunk. You're drunk. Everything is liquid.
What the hell just happened? Oh, my God. Okay.
It just worked out that way.
Okay, back to the match game. So, what did they do? So, boobs and genitals was the two things. They never got worse than that?
No.
I would have thought Charles Nelson Reilly would have gotten you in deep doo-doo. Mm-hmm. That guy looked like he was about to go crazy at any moment. Yeah,
no, they knew how to play the game. And you know, I think the thing I liked about Match Game was it was very spontaneous. And also, it was a show where you could make fun of everything. My favorite Match Game moment ever is Brett Summers, who we had a contestant on who never matched anybody. And after her fourth terrible answer, Brett turned to Gene and said, Gene, stop a minute. Are there no qualifications to get on this show? 10 minutes before air, do you just open the door to the studio and say, you're on a game show? Because that's the worst contestant I've ever seen.
So who was the biggest slut on the Match Game?
Oh, well. Huh.
Sorry.
Now, how do I know that?
No,
you know what? I have a genuine question for you, Dick.
Okay.
Lose your mustache, by the way.
Leo, fix your mustache.
Hang on, but it's gone. It's his nose now.
This is probably not going to be interesting to anybody under the age of 40, and I don't care. But growing up watching that, in the bonus round or whatever it was called, I remember it became very obvious for a very long time.
Richard Dawson.
That Richard Dawson was always the guy to go to. And then there was a season where they introduced the wheel.
Oh, that's why, right? Because Dawson would always win.
And then
was that introduced because there was resentment on the part of the other cast members that they always went to Richard Dawson, or was it just let's mix things up a little bit?
No,
throw in this
it was because the producers felt that the other celebrities felt left out.
Yeah,
it was also the reason that shortly after you'll notice Richard Dawson left the panel.
Oh, really?
Richard Dawson was.
Oh, we're getting some
furious.
Deep dirt now. We're getting dirt. Kids.
Yeah, exactly. Ira Scutch, who was producing it back then, told me I was in New York. Goodson said, "You know, moving the show to California. You want to go to California?" I said, "Mark, I'm a New Yorker." He said, "You can write it anywhere in the world." And he said, "I'm keeping offices on Park Avenue anyway, so stay here." So I sent my stuff out, but I would meet with Ira Scutch every couple of months. Either fly out or he'd fly in. And he said Richard Dawson started like being so quiet on the set. And he said, he told me that he was personally offended.
What?
That they brought the wheel in and that celebrity, that contestants couldn't pick on him all the time. And Ira said, Richard, we can arrange if you'd like to be off the show. And, you know, Richard had gone on to do Family Feud, so he didn't need Match Game.
Right.
And Richard Dawson said, yeah, I'd like to be off the show. And so the wheel ended Richard being on the show. But the funny thing was that the day they put the wheel up, it landed on Richard Dawson. The very first day, the very first time they spun it. But that did change things for Richard on the show.
You're too much of a gentleman to say, but I bet you there was behind the scenes backstage stuff, backstabbing, and I mean
some diva stuff.
No, Leo, it was nothing like Twit.
If you only knew, Dick. If you only knew.
You still got your YouTube red up?
Yeah.
I have the link you passed. I think it's the right one this time.
We're going to try one more time.
This is my favorite game show moment if you're looking for some fun debauchery.
Okay, debauchery. Oh, I know what I don't know where you're going with
this. Tell me a word a married man would use to fill in the blank. I would blank for sex.
James. We're a little too quick.
Hey.
Oh, it's number one.
Hold on.
Oh, Steve Harvey's not happy.
So completely true.
What?
Bethany?
Cook.
Clean? What?
What?
I would lie for sex.
There you go.
That's a guy answer. You don't know how deep this runs with us. You would lie. Yes, lie.
Number two. All right, it's in there. Pay or lie for sex.
I've never done this, but beg.
Beg, yes. 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 Cook, no. Clean, no. But pay, lie, beg, you bet. You bet.
He's very...
Hold on.
You don't even know.
Harvey's getting into this.
Two strikes. No chance you can blow this, James.
I'm going to kick it up a notch and say, kill.
I would kill.
Oh my goodness.
Yes! Kill!
Number two. Number two. We've come a long way, Dick.
Hold on.
I know.
Boulay family, get ready to steal.
Now, this isn't me. I would cry for sex.
Cry? Cry. I've never done that, but that's interesting.
Baby, did you let the two women down there influence your answer? Yes, you did. Why would you do that? This is a guy question. You want some big dude laying on her crying. Number four.
Oh, die. I would die for sex.
We'll kill you about it. We'll beg you for it. We'll lie about it.
But we will not cook or clean.
At the end of the day, we'll lay down our life for it.
That's a good moment. How'd you know that was there? Owen J.J. Stone.
I know all these good moments.
Yeah. He's a good
man. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. Do you know that Family Feud is actually the old end of Match Game?
What?
What?
Match Game used to end with panelists trying to fill in blanks of long sentences. And it was so popular, Goodson said, you know what? We can spin this off as a different show and just use single word blanks for Match Game. So they actually ended up with two shows.
And Richard Dawson got to host. Dawson,
yes.
But he didn't get the microphone.
No, he did.
No, I've been given new microphone. This is even stiffer than the old one.
Wow.
And now, like the game Cards Against Humanity.
Yes. I love I love Cards Against Humanity.
It's basically a riff on the same concept.
Only
so
like over
the
top.
All the way back.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? All right. This is a good time for YouTube Roulette, your favorite YouTube videos. What are you guys? You got wildest, wacky, filthiest, I don't care.
Oh, geez, man. I gotta...
Think about it. You don't have to come up with something off the right away, but just think about it. Your favorite YouTube moments. We had a great YouTube moment when we were looking up pronunciations. Do you remember this? Because I had said that I have ringing in my ears, and I said, that's tinnitus. And your co-host, OMG Chad, said, no, I believe that's tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I don't know how we could find out. So we went to YouTube and the YouTube pronunciation manual, and we looked it up. And this is actually a great use for YouTube, is how to pronounce words.
Well, it's pronounced Frappuccino.
You want to try another one?
Okay, I think
this is actually a good game, because let's say if you can pronounce, and I won't play it yet, but how do you pronounce this? Owen?
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae, let's
Ronald
see.
Ronald Reagan. So call me maybe. Cranky Ron. Old Reagan.
Okay, you guys are not so good at pronunciation. You want to try another one? Here's
Anna
a word.
Kendrick.
Here's a word. Here's a word all the kids are saying these days. All the kids are saying. Do you even know what this means?
Yeah.
Do you know what this means?
Sure.
What is on? What is it? On fleek?
On fleek.
What does that mean, Owen?
It's one of the reindeers, isn't it?
Yeah, there was
on
Dasher.
Donna, on Blitzen, Dance. On fleek.
On fleek. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm. Wow, girl, your eyebrows look so good today. I wouldn't even hesitate to say they are cornflech. Corn.
Here's a word you guys all know how to pronounce.
Oh, penis.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Penis.
Penis. Let's hear this here.
Penis.
Beepith. Beepith. Beepith.
Penis.
Hey, nice.
Penis.
This would probably be a good time to do another commercial, except that...
Kilt tour tenoris. Kilt tour tenoris.
All right, we're going to stop right there. Some of my favorite.
Pronounced, I can't find it.
Yes, that's right. Where is this thing? Kiltor Tenoris.
Kiltor Tenoris.
I'm going to have
a... Can anybody hear me? Am I there?
Hello? Yeah, why? Did we lose you?
Oh, no, I just sent my current favorite video over the Skype.
Oh.
Over the Skype channel.
Yeah,
somebody can grab that.
Yeah,
I got it on a different screen here.
Fire that up. Yeah. It's a short one, but I feel like it encapsulates the internet in 6 seconds.
Let's see.
Let's see. Here we go. A
couple of boys playing drums. Oh! This is how the rim shot was invented.
Now, you got to turn it up a little bit and play it again, because it's three steps. It's actually four steps. In immediate succession.
Are we missing? Are we...
It's the kid saying this song's stupid, immediately falls, rim shot, and then you hear the kid who fell start to cry.
It's the kid.
Just starts howling. That is
what YouTube was really created for, I think.
So now go to your ad read. Leo, sorry to interrupt.
Would this be what is happening in front of you there, Paul? It looks like a wall of action figures is mounted.
Oh yeah, I'm slowly building a wall of Homestar Runner figures and also Indiana Jones.
Very nice. All right, show of hands. How many of you? And by the way, was it you, Paul, or you, Storm, who said if we give any Star Wars spoilers, you're walking off the set?
Ah, that's me. Storm. I'm totally out.
Storm, we're not trying. No spoilers. Just a question. How many of you in the audience and at home and in the show, how many of you have seen the new Star Wars?
I have.
Paul's seen it, and Dick and Storm have not. So the top part has seen it. The bottom part has not. All right. There's nothing to say except that it made a lot of money in opening weekend. We're taping this ahead of time, so we don't know how well it's done by now, but probably the largest opening of all time. And then I was watching Twitter, and I just saw... that the Steve Jobs movie total made $17.5 million.
Oh, Steve Jobs.
That Apple,
they made more money than that in the first showing of the movie yesterday.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They sold $100 million in pre-sale tickets. Hmm. And the Steve Jobs, in fact, Apple made more money in the running time of Steve Jobs, $54 million. Than the movie made by a long shot in its total history. So I don't know if there's something there, but there's a moral there somewhere. I think Star Wars deserves to do well. You know, there's a moment, and Storm, I'm not giving you any spoilers at all, but when you are at the beginning of the movie and you see Lucasfilm, It's just a great moment, isn't it, in the theater, Doctor and Paul? Isn't it a great moment where you just go, yes, we're back. We're back, baby.
Although, honestly, I have to say I was a little disappointed. It's not the right word because it's not that strong. But just the fact that the 20th Century Fox overture wasn't there.
Well, it's only on episode one, right?
It was in the original trilogy.
The whole trilogy was Fox?
Yeah, I think the original trilogy was Fox.
Yeah, I know, because I was rewatching episode four, and it has that. And no, that's not there, because Fox doesn't own it. Obviously, Disney does. Don't worry. No, don't worry.
Nobody's spoiling anything.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Right. You're good.
We're just saying. I don't even want opinions.
No, you're the guy.
No one said anything.
You're the guy who didn't even watch trailers. I understand. You don't want to know anything. Yeah. And I honor that. I think that's right on. But I do have to say that this mustache makes an appearance in the movie.
Damn you, Leo. Damn you. It's done. I'm not going to see it now.
No. Ah. No, it doesn't.
Just Star Trek.
It doesn't.
You're on out. Star Trek.
Yeah,
Stick
with Star Trek. No. It is, I think, true to the spirit of the original. I'm just going to say that. You will not go away unhappy. I'm going to just play a little bit of this right now, and it'll make you feel good here.
That was some singing.
This is Jimmy Fallon and the Roots. And this is exactly how the movie begins now. Which is so exciting. And actually, this is the cast. The Star Wars cast is in here too, isn't it? There's the famous black stormtrooper right there. There's a bunch of them. You know, Owen, are you happy that one of the stars of the new movie is an African-American? Actually, he's an African-Englishman.
Yes.
I think that's great. I'm actually thrilled about that.
Another thing about how the internet is, it just astounded me how everybody was so enraged.
What? No.
About that guy.
What? By the way, he's awesome in the movie.
Now, look, stop talking about the movie, because you're drunk and you're not supposed to be doing it anyway. So stop.
Okay. I don't think, though, that this is a surprise to anybody that this occurred.
No. I'm just saying, before you flip something you shouldn't say, and then he hangs up, and then he's upset with you for the rest of your life.
He's already gone,
I think. Have been drinking.
Yeah.
So
I've been drinking.
You can't be trusted. Happy he's in the movie. Great, whatever. But, you know, people got so angry about that. I'm like, man.
What?
Do you not see who George Lucas is married to?
It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. I think it probably does more for race relations than a whole lot of other stuff. Don't you think?
I mean, aren't the Wookiees black?
The Ewoks are definitely black.
The Ewoks are black. Those are black little people.
I feel like a Wookiee might be black.
And Wookiees are like black basketball
players.
Is
Peter Mayhew the Wookiee again, or is it a different guy in the suit? Wait a minute. You knew that it was a guy in a suit, right, Storm?
Storm's not listening. He's not anywhere near this conversation. I'm surprised he's still here, to be honest. Right,
Let's talk about spoilers, but not Star Wars spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
But spoilers in general. Just what do you think about this new thing about spoilers? Because
Paul.
It's bad, isn't it?
Paul. It wasn't that great. It was great, but it wasn't that great.
I can't
hear
you, Paul. Like,
was it that great?
No, I can't hear you.
He's muted.
Dang gummit!
Can you hear me now? I heard you. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Okay. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm going to have to get you Skype. We got to talk. We got to talk.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not that great a series. The whole thing isn't that good. But
yeah, I mean, it's tough because I was literally the guy in the wheelhouse for the original trilogy because I was 7 when the first one came
out. Exactly. It's for your
11
people.
11 when the last one came out. That's, I mean, you know, I was, and it's hard to match that feeling of, you know, being a preteen kid watching that original trilogy. I mean, it can never impact, you know, certainly it couldn't impact me the same way that the original trilogy did.
I took my daughter, who is obsessed with Star Wars, in her bedroom right now. She's got Darth Vader over her bed and R2-D2 right beside him. Her alarm clock is a stormtrooper.
What did she think?
She caught out most of the things in the movie. She's looking at me like, Dad, don't you think this is going to happen? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. An hour later, she's like, see, I told you so. Yeah. And I'm like, an 8-year-old figured it out. Like, an 8-year-old. Like, what?
I will certainly say I'm going to need to see it another time or two to really get it.
It moves fast. Yeah, there's a lot
there. I'm watching it twice. I got to go see it two more times.
Yeah, no, I have to see it more. I got to see it more. I'm glad I saw it.
I saw it at the Franklin Institute's IMAX theater.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't a big flat screen. It's actually sort of the way it's arranged. I don't even know if I can describe it properly. It's sort of a half dome, and that's at a, let's call it a 30-degree angle, and then the seats are at a parallel angle, so you're very close to the screen no matter where you're sitting.
Wow.
So there's this huge screen right up in our faces, and literally the chairs are so reclined, it felt like we were lying down watching this movie, which completely filled my
visual field. Sure, the theater's not just falling apart.
No, no.
I want to see it that way.
My field of vision, and while it was awesome, and you know, it's something to experience a movie that way because it was in 70mm, so it's just
that's the way to see it.
Yeah, it's great.
But it was a thing where, you know, something happened on the left and the right of the screen. You actually had to turn your head to see it. Like you couldn't even just move your eyes. We had to look. My daughter and I saw it. We had to look left and right to see what was happening. So a lot of the action sequences. Little tough to properly get.
That's annoying.
In. But that said, it was really. I mean, it was visceral.
I really enjoyed it.
It was.
I really enjoyed it. I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, Storm. We're done.
Okay, Storm. I'll text Storm here.
We're done. No spoil. And we didn't spoil anything. Storm shot first. Storm shot first.
It was me the whole time.
It's so funny because when you say their name, all I keep thinking is Hall & Oates, and I can't stop doing it.
Hall & Oates, it's like Hall & Oates, only it's Paul and Storm. So where do you all sit on 3D movies? I like IMAX.
Horrible.
You like it?
Horrible.
Horrible.
No, I hate them. Horrible. Unless it's Avatar, I can't stand a 3D movie.
I was disappointed because we bought tickets to 3D, and I'm going to have to go back and see it in 2D because I like 2D. It's brighter.
Yeah,
3D is dimmer.
Yes, absolutely. 3D is very dim.
Yeah, although apparently they're improving that. Apparently the new laser projection.
Yeah, some of them are brighter.
Brighter, but my problem.
I'm holding out for 4D. At least 4Ds.
Television?
Maybe 5.
My issue is the vast majority of movies aren't shot in 3D.
Right.
Like, they're not made for it. They're converted. And almost in every single case, the conversions are pretty terrible.
This is not a spoiler. I could tell you, though, there's no reason to see this in 3D. There's no reason to see this in 3D.
There's no reason to see any movie besides Avatar in 3D.
When I watch Avatar
in 3D and they're walking through that grass, there's grass in my lap.
Yeah.
Every other movie, there's crap in my face.
Right.
But Avatar, literally, I was in the universe. Like, I don't know what they did with Avatar besides spend a whole lot of money. But Avatar 3D is the only 3D available in this universe that's useful.
It's because they shot it natively in 3D. There are a few more movies, like Pixar movies and computer generated movies are a lot better about it.
Yeah.
Some of the movies like Coraline and Box Trolls and things like that. Those were also actually I think natively shot 3D.
I still don't like it because it's darker and I don't want to wear the glasses.
Don't tack it on. Like if you're gonna do it,
right.
Go all the way, you know, and start from the beginning on it.
All right.
Now that said, here's a question then because most places. Star Wars is playing in IMAX, and you have to see it in 3D if you're watching it in IMAX.
The question is,
if you want the really big image, if you have to see it in 3D, will you go to see it on a smaller screen in 2D, or will you suck up the 3D and and see it on the big screen?
I haven't seen it in 2D.
I'll tell you like I tell these women, sizes and everything. It's about the content and the motion in the ocean. And I'm not seeing it in IMAX in 3D. They not gonna trick me.
Wait a minute.
IMAX 3D is like $28 and a small child.
Owen,
they want blood from an infant. Like it's too much.
Are you telling me that you're not well endowed?
I'm not not talking about me. I'm talking about 3D.
All right. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's the day after Christmas. This is, they call it Boxing Day. That's because...
Boxing Day!
It's not anything to do with, you know, pugilism. It is because in old England, this is a terrible tradition, but the lord of the manor would box up the leftovers from the Christmas feast and bring it to the tenants in the town as a gift. That's why they call it Boxing Day. Nice. I think a more modern interpretation is this is the day you bring back the gifts you got. You put them back in the box and say, I want a different one. I'm going to ask you guys, even though you don't know what you got that you didn't want or what you do want that you didn't get for Christmas when we come back, all right? A little bit of a break.
Okay.
This is a chance to think. Wait a minute, there's no more ads. The clipboard is empty.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's terrible. That should never happen.
Why don't you put in a plug for Joko Cruz, then?
Joko Cruz.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Joko Cruz. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, this whole time I've been saying it's Boxing Day. It's the day after Boxing Day.
Oh, re-Boxing Day.
It's re-Boxing Day. Wow. So what gift did you get that you would re-box? So I've just been informed. My producers finally woke up, and they said, wait a minute. It's not Boxing Day. Here, have another one of these. These are really good. This is, by the way, I just want to say, this is excellent. This is a local eggnog by the organic Strauss Family Creamery. That's excellent. And then...
Is it Moonshine Eggnog?
It is. And this is...
It is
called,
now.
It's called American Born Moonshine Dixie. And it's Sweet Tea Moonshine, 83 proof.
And
whoa, it blew my mind.
Whoa, okay.
Blew your stash right off.
And it's actually incredibly good. And it goes down very smoothly. That is not the commercial. I just want to say it's a recommendation. Our commercial is by Audible.com. We love Audible. They've been a member of the family for years. In fact, I first started listening to Audible books in the year 2000. I was listening to books on tape. You know, you get the box of tape for a month.
Sure, yeah.
It's on cassettes, and you put a cassette in. And it was, I mean, it saved my life because I had a long commute down to Tech TV, like 2 hours each way. And I loved that. But when Audible came along, and this was before the iPod or the iPhone, so I had to listen. Audible made a little thing called the Otis. It was like the first early MP3 player, and then my Diamond Rio. Now, of course, you can listen to Audible on anything, on any smartphone, any tablet. They have Windows apps. They have apps for every platform. And great. By the way, that Mindy Kaling is an awesome book, Why Not Me? Fantastic. Here's the deal. We're going to get you two free books. So this is the challenge, is which two books. I have just started listening to a wonderful book that I can't remember. Oh, that's a good one. And Angela's Ashes was one of the first books I ever listened to by Frank McCourt. He narrates it. Oh, my God, that's an amazing book. I didn't even know. I forgot about that. I probably listened to that 10 years ago. Incredible. And Frank McCourt has it's a beautiful story about a childhood in Ireland, and it's just wonderful.
It's a beautiful story about his incredibly miserable, destitute upbringing.
Exactly.
In Ireland.
But isn't that amazing? That's what's amazing about it. It's just incredible. I bet they have a Dylan Thomas Child's Christmas in Wales would be another great one to listen to. Here it is. Every Christmas, we had this on an album, and every Christmas I would listen to it. I don't know if you have my audio. Let me play a little bit. This is Dylan Thomas. This is considered the first official audio book by Dylan Thomas. We listen to this every Christmas.
Nobody could have had a noisier Christmas Eve. And when the fireman turned off the hose and was standing in the wet, smoky room, Jim's aunt, Miss Protheroe, came downstairs.
Oh, my, I have such memories of this. It's not very long. It's 48 minutes. But that is a Christmas memory for me. There are lots of wonderful classic Christmas tales. There's some wonderful stuff. Go to audible.com. Actually, we've got a special deal for you if you go to audible.com/twit2, and you can get two books for free. You'll be subscribing to the Platinum Plan. That means you're going to get two books a month, plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. This is the one I was trying to remember. Lafayette in the somewhat United States. Sarah Vowell narrates this along with our buddy John Hodgman and John Slattery from Mad Men and Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live. Incredible book. I'm just started listening to this. Look, you're going to love Audible. Two books free right now. This is, if you didn't get the Christmas present you wanted or the Hanukkah present you wanted, this is the time to take two books for free. And by the way, you can cancel anytime in the first 30 days. Pay nothing, but you'll be keeping those books forever. I have well over 300, I think 400 books that I've listened to on Audible that are mine. They're in my library forever. Audible.com/twit2. Do you guys have a tradition? I think we talked about this in previous episodes of something that you read on Christmas Eve. I mean, it's the night before Christmas. You guys have kids? I don't even know. I know you do, Doctor.
I've got two kids. They're older. We don't have a family tradition, but I always end up, because I tend to put the wrapping off till too late, and so I finish my wrapping late.
I shop on Christmas Eve. That's what
I
do.
And then you shop.
I go to 7-Eleven, and I say, you got any Slim Jims? Anything. I'll take whatever you got.
But once I do the wrapping, I generally find myself watching two movies in a row. I watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Because tradition. Yeah. And then I also watch the single greatest Christmas movie and greatest version of this story.
He's going to say, I know what you're going to say. Say it.
Go ahead. I know what I'm going to say. So it's the
Gene Shepard.
Alistair Sim.
Oh,
yep. Carol.
That's the one. Sim,
1951 Scrooge.
That's the one.
Thank you, Dick, for backing me up.
No, thank you. I knew. I said he's got to say that. He's got to say
that. And the best part about it is it's only a little over an hour long. It's not very long.
Yep.
And by the way, it's on YouTube, so you don't actually have to wait for it to show up on Turner Classic Movies.
It's more special. It's more special when you come across it in the wild.
I know.
The terrible thing is, I think we ruined the ending for Greg.
Why?
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I know this one. You know, after that many years, it doesn't count. You know, there needs to be a council.
What is the statute of limitations on spoilers?
Well, there needs to be a council of 12 that determines for any given movie how long you have before you can no longer complain because you've been spoiled. So, and I think it depends. Yeah.
It's okay now to say Darth Vader is you know who.
No.
Not okay.
My tradition is this year is to be the Scrooge.
To actually be the Scrooge?
Like, you know what, Owen? I don't want you to be the Scrooge. I want you to be the Krampus.
Well, I can't kill anybody because I'm black. I go to jail for that. But I'm saying I have no Christmas tree this year. There are no lights this year. And on Christmas Day, my daughter's getting no presents from me this year.
Why not? Are you going to do...
Because, Uncle Leo, let me tell you something. So, first of all, when I grew up, there was a time period where I had everything, like all the toys in the world.
Yeah.
Then there was a time period where we were really poor and I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And there were three Christmases like that where all I got was clothes from other family members. I didn't have anything.
Wow.
And I never got upset with my dad. I knew the situation we were in. I dealt with it. I always loved him. He did his best. Now, my daughter lives in a world where I'm separated from her mother. She's talking to her friends. She has Christmas at her grandmother's, Christmas at another grandmother's, Christmas with her mom, then Christmas with me. She has a playroom at my house, a bedroom at my house, a playroom at her mother's house, and a bedroom. Like, she has so much stuff, Leo. When I asked her what she wants for Christmas, she said, I already have everything. And blessed be me that my child is not a greedy, evil child to just want more and more. But I said, wow. She's like, I don't need anything, and I'm getting so much stuff anyway. And I'm like, you know what? I bought her presents, mind you. But on Christmas Day, we're not having no presents. We're going to the movie. We're going to go see our family and friends and hang out all day. And as long as she don't complain, I'll buy her something extra on top of that because the next day I'm going to give her all her presents. But for Pete's sake, sometimes when she gets older, she's going to know we ain't broke. So I got to hit her up now to make her realize that it's not about presents. It's not about the presents. Like her little friend was like, oh, your dad's a Grinch. because he doesn't have Santa Claus come over. And she's like, Santa Claus comes everywhere. And Leia's like, well, Santa doesn't come to my dad's house. He comes to my mom's, wow, my grandma's. And she's like, why? And she's like, because my dad buys the presents at his house, not Santa. And I'm like, I'm not giving no credit to no jolly fat man. Oh, no.
Yeah. You leave cookies out for me.
Ain't no leaving cookies out for somebody else.
Grinch,
I bought presents.
You really are a heel. You're a dirty black banana with a greasy black peel. Mr. Green.
Exactly. And when all my kid grows up humble and knows about the world, she's not going to ask me for an Audi.
Yeah. I don't know anybody would do that. Hey, watch this. This is it. Alistair Sim.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past.
No, your past.
I want to see Marley with his chains. Where is that? That's a little earlier. That's the good one. Oh, see, there's the door knocker. This is really, I think, even if you never saw this, this is in your psyche as what Christmas Carol is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
I mean, just that little bit gets me teary-eyed. Yeah. It's amazing.
I haven't seen this since I was a kid.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I was probably like 15 when I saw this. Wow.
I'm surprised, actually, that you've seen it. This is pretty old. This is. Anyway, let's talk about gifts. I'll show you the
like
gift.
Like the gift that you're giving to the world with that mustache there?
Stop it.
He's part of Beard Nation. He has to have facial hair.
This is the gift that I'm giving everybody this year, the Star Wars Darth Vader plush toy with Santa hat and candy.
Does this count as a spoiler, Storm? Are you mad now? No.
That candy looks ill-placed.
This here
What is going on with that candy?
This here is one confused Christmas gift, I'm just saying.
We're just going to smash together a bunch of things and sell it to you.
Only 14.
So it's Darth Vader, but he's got a Christmas hat, and there's, I don't know, some goddamn candy or something.
Look at that. Look at that.
Boom. $14.98.
What's your greatest Christmas memory? Oh, and J.J. Stone. There must be a... You told some sad stories. You're getting your hand-me-down clothes, but is there a great Christmas memory for you?
Great Christmas memory. I had a situation where I had to move to a new place, and there was like a new family set up. And I didn't really know anybody. This is one of the Christmas I got everything. So my dad was like a mechanic. And one night he was out working in the garage. And then I heard him banging, making all this noise. I look out the window and I see my dad riding my new bike that he had put together for me. Riding in the driveway. Mm. And he rode the bike into the fence because, you know, it's too short for him. He rode the bike into the fence. And I cracked up laughing so bad. And that was when I still believed in Santa Claus. That's the first time I realized Santa Claus wasn't real. But the next day I woke up and my bike was there. And I was like, I got a bike. And my dad was like, yeah, Santa dropped it off for me. I'm like, yeah, I heard Santa hit the fence last night, too. Yeah.
I love
that. And to which point, I'll never forget it, that bike. I didn't know how to ride a bike because I never had a real bike at that point. I think I was like 7 or 8. My dad tried to teach me. And he's one of those guys that just likes to tell you to do stuff on your own. So he's like, here, go ride the bike, fall a lot, you'll figure it out. So my neighbor comes over, and her name was Felicia, and Felicia helped me ride my bike. And my dad's like, oh, I see how it is. And then the next day, I knew how to ride the bike, but I still pretended like I didn't know how to ride the bike.
You're like, Felicia, she got to come back, teach you some more.
You got to hold the handlebars for me, girl. I don't know what I'm doing.
Help me. I love that. That's a nice story. Dick, your parents, your father, I remember, was he an ironmonger? He was a Italian immigrant?
He was an Italian immigrant who worked building metal grills and gratings and actually did some stuff for Grand Central Station designing. And my parents never knew what I wanted. My whole family never were into gadgets and things. So my mother and I had a great scam going. My mother would, 2 weeks before Christmas, say, all right, I want you to buy something for $20 from your sister. I want you to buy something for $40 from your brother. And I would go out and buy all these things that I wanted. And we would wrap them, my mother and I. And she would say, you know, they think I bought them. And I said, great. And so on Christmas, I got exactly what I wanted.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one year we went to my sister's house for Christmas. And I walked in and my sister said, you're wearing dungarees. I said, yeah. She said, we're going to midnight mass. I said, somebody might give me slacks and a shirt and a tie. And they did. Amazing. And they did. They were already altered.
Paul and Storm, let's start with Paul. Do you have any memories that you want to share with us of great holidays past?
We generally had really good Christmases in our house. I don't know if there was a specific...
Everybody has a special
gift. Maybe it sounds materialistic, but one particular one was the year we got the Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah. That would be big.
Console.
That would be big.
It opened up a whole new world. And it actually was followed by with one of my least favorite Christmas memories because the day after Christmas – oh, no, excuse me. It was the day of Christmas, maybe around noon, some friends of ours, a couple of friends of my brother and I came over to come see our new Atari, and they proceeded to play it without giving us a turn for like 5 hours straight.
I hate that.
We kind of stopped being friends with them after that. Like they rode away on their bikes, and we're like, those guys are jerks.
That's great.
They?
That Atari gave you the gift of hatred. Which is good.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Nolan Bushnell.
I think that used to be their slogan for years, wasn't it? Give the gift of hatred.
Storm, do you have any?
Look at what it did for them.
Yeah, it was very successful.
Yeah.
I do. It's not a specific memory, and I'm probably going to piss off somewhere between 40% and 70% of people for saying it.
Oh, I like
but
that.
I really genuinely like, and nominally I'm Jewish, but it's the holidays, and I really love the idea of that you're getting back together with friends and people maybe you haven't seen in a while, and just remembering sort of who you are. And for me, that all comes around every year, once a year, the first time when I'm listening to the radio, which happens with decreasing frequency.
Yes.
And in the wild, I hear Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Simply and there's, having a wonderful Christmas time.
You hear those opening
love that
chords.
Song.
You hear those chords, and all the memories come back for me. And I know there are haters out there who decry
this. It's a polarizing song. It's true.
Is it really?
Polarizing.
It's a great song.
It is.
It's played at every mall and every shop in America a billion times. That's why.
Yeah, it's too familiar. But it captures for me sort of that feeling. It's so simple that it's about people together having a great time. It's simple. You're simply having
a wonderful Christmas time. I love that song. I think that's a great song.
Thank you. Thank you, Leo. Thank you.
So, actually, I'd like to end this with, I don't know what's
with
happening.
A few more mustaches.
Yeah.
With Dick D. Bartolo, you posted on all your social media, I think, a beautiful sentiment. And I thought maybe you could read this. This is your Christmas wish.
Oh, yeah. I don't have it handy. Let me go.
I have it right here. I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
Just put that on the screen and you can read
it. There you go. The headline is, please, no more Star Wars talk. Let's concentrate on the holidays. It's a time of the year when kids are excited that the Force awakens them early Christmas morning. Most will love the gifts they receive, but a few will not like anything and throw a tantrum. Some folks will stay close to home. Others will travel to a galaxy far, far away, often on a Jedi night flight. But once they arrive, it's time for drinking eggnog and making Wookiee.
Yes.
The main event takes place on December 25th, but then it's all over on December 26th. Through it all, keep it light and airy, or to put it another way, may the froth be with you. Happy holidays.
And by the way, Storm, for you, for your benefit, the Brett Glass in our chat room, has the backstory behind that wonderful Paul McCartney Christmas song.
Oh, no, no, no.
It turns out...
That's the BS story that I told Brett Glass.
Paul McCartney was in the studio. You know, if you can write a Christmas song, it's like an annuity because it gets played every year. You get royalties. And the engineer said, Paul, I bet you can't write a Christmas song. And Paul said, I could write a hit Christmas song. He went to the bathroom. While he was taking a dump, he wrote a wonderful,
wonderful, warm Christmas memories.
So I think we've all underestimated the power of taking a dump. I think that's the lesson that needs to be learned here.
Yeah. I want to thank my bestest buddies. You guys came out on a cold winter evening to spend a couple of hours with us. I just want to wish you a wonderful 20. What year is this going to be? 2016. Yes. It's my great pleasure to work with some of the most fun, wonderful people in the world, and I look forward to this every year. Paul and Storm, JocoCruise.com. You'll be going out to sea in February, God willing. You'll never come back. For more information about their performances, PaulandStorm.com. Dick,
and we'll be doing it again in 2017. So even if once this airs, even if it's too soon, too close for someone to book for this year, there will be another one coming the next year.
Bigger and better.
They're sailing on the ghost ship. Someday maybe I'll get asked. Mr. Dick D. Bartolo, Mads Maddest writer, always a thrill. Gizwiz.biz is his website. He's at the Gizwiz on Twitter. And don't forget to follow the show, Gizwiz.tv. Happy holidays, Dick. Happy
Thank
New
you,
Year
sir.
To Owen J.J. Stone.
Yeah.
Uncle Leo, I want to tell you a Christmas story to show you the power of a child's mind.
Okay.
It's short.
Yeah. We should end this on a high note. That's good.
So I take my daughter over to go play with her little friend.
Yes.
And he had just got home from Bible study. He said, Leah, you should come to Bible study with us. And Leah says, well, we don't really do that. My dad said I can decide what I want to be when I get older. He said, that's okay. Jesus and God loves you anyway. And she said, well, how do you know that? And he said, well, everybody, they love everybody. And she's like, well, did they tell you that? And he's like, no. He's like, well, if they didn't tell you, then how do you know? And so he gets really frustrated. He looks at his mom and he's like, Mom, tell her. And she's like, well, Leah, it's just a thing that we're saying that he loves everybody. She's like, well, I understand that. I've just never seen him. So if you've never seen him, how do you know? And the little boy gets really upset. And the mom's like, look, she's allowed to believe in something different and you're allowed to believe in something different. It's totally okay. But the mom was really frustrated with Leah's take on the whole thing. So after 30 seconds, she turns to Leah and she says, so Leah, do you believe in Santa Claus? And Leah says, of course I do. I see him at the mall every year.
And that,
the joy in my heart. It was a Christmas burn, boy. It was a Christmas burn for an 8-year-old. And there was nothing she could do but say, touche, Leah.
Yeah.
Touche.
Well, I don't know about Santa Claus or your Jesus or anybody, but I love you guys, and I thank you so much. I thank you all, and I mean this to you sitting at home. I love or driving or jogging or flying an airplane. Our listeners do so many things while they're listening to Twit, and we really very honored and pleased that you listen, and I thank you. I hope this show won't sour you on the whole process, because God knows.
Well, I think you got your wish. It's ending on a high note.
as usual, it's been another wild holiday episode, but I thank you for a wonderful 2015. At least personally, we've had so much fun doing all of our shows, and I hope I'll see you right back here in 2016. Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays, happy new year, and another twit.
It's in the can.
It's in the can. Yeah.